recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Football on off the ball.
And immediately, Senegalese journalists start applauding, Moroccan journalists start booing. The Moroccan journalists then try to stage a walkout, but because of the nature of the seating, it was sort of theatre-style seating, they couldn't get out. There's people in the way. And so then fights break out. And I'm not talking two or three fights. I'm talking 40, 50, 60 fights break out.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber. Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yeah, wow. There's a big crest for you. Manchester United, who go to Arsenal on the off chance that you miss this, and won 3-2. What's remarkable about this is when Arsenal took the lead this season, they were flawless on paper, 24 from 24 when they went 1-0 up. And it's the first time in over 8 years that Manchester United have won at the Emirates.
I didn't realise their record. That flashed up at the start. Of like it had kind of crept up on me that they're shite there.
Yeah.
7 defeats, 1 draw.
Now, we will get to Arsenal as well in the performance ranks. We'll give them a colour. But to begin here, and we know you love when we talk about United. What a game. Like what a game in so many ways, in that the average couch position like was not generally stationary. My heat map around the living room was quite good. Like, I was covering a lot of areas because, like, the Dorgu goal, I had an interesting response. I don't know about you and everyone else out there, but I was like, oh. Because you don't see goals like that score anymore, in off the underside of the bar and up. It was Tony Yeboah-esque the way it went in. It's beautiful. But the Cunha one, I went mad for. I just loved it. And the reason I loved it was, I don't know about you, but I thought when it was 2-2 and Arsenal just equalised, I thought they just need one more chance, United. They just need a chance. And when, is it Maynou flicks the ball to Cunha and he turns in the spin, I was like, Jesus, he's been given loads of space here. And I'm telling you, for whatever reason, I thought there was a good chance here.
But I was exactly the same. It's like, he'll go closer.
He'll go, yeah, at the very least. At the very least, this will make the Sky Sports highlight package. At the very least, this, whatever he does here. But the finish, you know, took my breath away and left out the guttural, involuntary noise. Thoroughly deserved. Brilliant performance. And just enjoy the moment, because that's what I did. It was really entertaining. It was a lot of fun, like the Manchester Derby.
Give it to him full time. That's the overwhelming. put the numbers, sign the deal.
Enjoy it. Just have fun.
I do think that'll get that. I don't think that's going to actually. I think they're handling that quite well.
Yeah, me too.
I think people will run out of road with that conversation after every game. It's just kind of like.
When does it become? What is it? All joking aside, like, what needs to happen here? Do you think so? If he qualifies for the Champions League. There was a theory.
If he qualifies for the Champions League, he'll have done the job he was asked to do extremely successfully.
Yeah, and you know,
does that mean he is the person to take over full time?
And it's great for him because he'll suddenly, if he does that, right, he will automatically, if Tuchel leaves, be in the conversation for the next England boss.
That's true.
If he wants Carrick.
Yeah, automatically if he qualifies.
No.
I can see that.
What do you mean? Why would he?
They go it's from him or Eddie Howe.
It's Michael Carrick or Eddie Howe.
For the England job.
That's the only two.
Yeah, exactly.
Says who?
Says the FA. They're not going to go on the foreigner.
What? They've just hired a foreigner.
You don't go foreigner. You go foreigner English.
No, I
that's they've done foreigner back to back and it didn't work for them. Come on, we yeah. What does he have to do to get the Man United gig?
But look, it's not the job that he has now, right? Is not the job. If he qualifies for the Champions League.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden next year he's propelled into a situation where minimum you have 48 games. Absolute minimum. You probably go further in the cups. You're going 50 plus. He's never done that before.
No.
So why would you all of a sudden think, he can do that job. He can definitely do this job.
I'm not hiring him. But I think
you're the one proposing it as a thing.
No, but I'm not the only one.
Well,
the Sky Studio, like it's Michael Richards and me are
there's a happy middle ground somewhere between like Roy Keane's I wouldn't hire him if he won all 17 games, which is like, okay, that was, I mean, yeah. Okay, pal. And the kind
tongue of... Tongue-in-cheek,
well, maybe not. It wasn't tongue-in-cheek. And the kind of... But,
facetious, not tongue-in-cheek. Facetious is the correct word.
I think you don't. I think you, if he qualifies for the top four or Champions League, you go, that's a job well done. And it's everyone's a winner. He goes, his stock's up so high, he gets another job in the Premier League.
He rides off into
the
sunset.
Don't think he gets the England job. But he gets another job in the Premier League, yeah. If they keep him, they keep him. If they don't, they don't. But it's just it'll be a different job next season if they do that.
To follow that, that clunky analogy I'll go for again, he's renting the gaff at the moment, then, and he buys the gaff, it's a different story. Then he has a huge set of responsibilities for the house. He has an end date in sight, so he knows he can do his work there.
It's true, right? Traditionally, though, when there is an end date in sight,
yeah.
Footballers have been known to down tools. You know that lame
it's different
duck?
Because it's the start of it's an interim period.
So still yet happen.
There's clearly a release that the players are enjoying. What is remarkable about Michael Carrick's two interim spells is that he's only ever managed Manchester United in box office fixtures, or at least fixtures of significant importance against renowned managers. Unai Emery, first time around, Thomas Tuchel, Mikel Arteta, and now Arteta again and Pep Guardiola. So I'm looking forward to just a quote-unquote normal game, which starts this coming weekend against Marco Silva's Fulham. And Marco Silva was actually on the long list for the United job when Jamie Carragher and Thierry Henry went through the candidates there recently on Sky after Amorim left. So that'll be interesting when he has games that are kind of slightly more off-Broadway, because every single game he's had has been huge.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed the game overall. I thought there was if you want to call it, good chemistry between both sides. But it was a strange one. We'll get on to Arsenal, but I thought Arsenal were by far the superior side for the first quarter of an hour. They're clearly the better team here. And then the game was very subtly started shifting to the point where Arsenal got spooked. Real scared. I don't know, maybe they were put off by the ugliness of their own goal and was like, oh, that's not the way we want to score or whatever. But whatever happened after it won up, it was uncharacteristic to the Arsenal we've seen all season. Very. And I don't know if United have the capability to do this to sides, or was this a one-off?
It's interesting. It's interesting after a Man United game for them not to be the main story. Even going through stuff this morning and stuff, it's all about Arsenal. And it's so interesting the degree to which there's such an avid dislike for Arsenal. It's a rare one for a team that's seemingly, kind of not... that's kind of going, that's not like regular champions or anything else. They're kind of going for something that'd be slightly different, unique, kind of in the recent history. But just the dislike for what Arteta's team does is so interesting. It's so palpable in so many of the people covering it. People really dislike it. And there's kind of a great, people love to see it get its comeuppance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very rare you come out of a game where Man United are the good guys. It's like a Man United
in the last
playing all the
of
football.
Because
that screenshot's doing the round as well from when, it's not their goal because the stoppage time thing is up, but one of those ones where they've just flooded the line for a corner, I presume, or a throw. I think it's for a corner where it's horrible to look at, and it's just the way that they're playing the game. They're a bad team to watch.
Yeah, they are.
I think we can kind of safely say that for a team that's as good as they are when they're good. They're rough.
To your point about the first 15 minutes, I thought they were quite good to watch in the first 15 minutes. The goal actually comes from a... Is that from the same pass you play, or is that beautiful left foot?
It was a cross from the left and it was poorly headed away by Dorgu, actually.
It was Odegaard put a beautiful pass out to the left wing.
He started off very well and
then
he faded.
There's an incredible bit of skill from Saka. From that,
yeah, it's good skill. It's what we see from Saka all the time. And again, they had an over reliance on him. Yeah. But can we reserve judgment on Arsenal for a second before we finish up here, because we should spend time in them. But with United, there, I was just looking ahead to the fixtures, and they don't have many midweek games left, right? Because obviously it's only Premier League. And I was just looking here, so the beginning of March, right? They're at home to Palace on the 1st.
It's Man United.
Yeah, and then they're away to Newcastle 3 days later, right? But even then, they have 10 days off after that. So. It's really interesting if you're a fringe player for Manchester United now. Very difficult to get back into the starting 11 under Michael Carrick, because they play shag-all games. They have a week's rest between each match. It's hardly going to change it now if everyone's fit. Now, Dorgu's hamstring might open up the doors, but say Mason Mount now, for example, how many minutes is Mount going to play for the rest of the season? When's Lenny Yoro going to see the pitch again? Harry Maguire gets man of the match. Lisandro Martinez is one of the talismanic figures that United have. Like, he's going to play. It's really interesting because they could conceivably, if everyone stays fit, depending on Dorgu's injury yesterday, they could name the same 11 pretty much
probably will.
Every game for the rest of the season. And the rest of the squad are just going to have to bide their time and play very little football.
Even more so because the way it's trending, I suppose, is every game's going to matter as well.
Yeah.
It's not like you'll take a calculated risk, like, and kind of, it doesn't matter, we can kind of, we'll be fine. Because there's no game I don't think they're going to take for granted either. Can't really afford
no.
it.
No. So you would think they're on high alert at the moment. Yeah. They're on high alert.
Does this debunk your, there's no such thing as a first 11 anymore?
Yeah. Well, I did qualify that at the start of the season by saying, like, when they got knocked out of the League Cup, it was like they are the exception here. But for Arsenal and Man City, like, lads who are competing on all fronts, yeah, they can rotate away. I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is at the moment, because I figured the first question you're going to ask us this morning was, would you give him the job full time? Which, funnily enough, Micah Richards tried in Roy Keane yesterday evening. I don't know if you saw that, but Roy got very snippy with him. It was like, you're being silly now.
Yeah, it's
no smile. It was like, just, you know, it's two games.
He's been hired to do a job.
Do a job. And the other thing is, like, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay at the end of the season. No one's going to come for him. Let him off. Just enjoy yourself.
It's really the type of thing. You wouldn't be terribly surprised if Man United do end
Sorry,
up
just
a
for the, I was thinking
I was
about this a lot.
What needs to happen for that to happen?
I was thinking about this a lot, and an awful lot. I can't get it out of my head. Because of what happened with Solskjaer, say they hire him, whatever else, it doesn't mean it'll be the same end result. We kind of have that thing. It's like, there's it's happened once before. They did this before and it ended disastrously. No, that doesn't mean it happens that way again.
Well, it doesn't mean that it ends disastrously. I accept that. But you're saying that it's unlikely to happen because they did it before and it ended disastrously.
No, not because they've done it before. These guys didn't do it before. The guys in charge now didn't do it before. It was a previous decision. I just don't think they'll necessarily. I think they'll go and assess. Say, best case scenario, they get top four, right? Take that. Because I think it's a lot easier if they don't. If they get top four, then you have to go and assess, and you go and you look at your full season. You go like, right, well, can this guy do that job? Because I do think it's an easy enough, not easy, but it's definitely, he was coming in at a fairly low base with a team that was kind of underperforming.
Yeah.
And now it's a case of like, okay, you've kind of taken the shackles off, but I don't know if that translates to, again, a full season. As you're saying, there is a difference when it's like, everything's up in the air at the minute. Everyone's trying to impress everyone.
To finish top four.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
To finish top four.
That is true.
The odds are Liverpool 5-4, Chelsea 5-4, Manchester United 5-4.
Yeah.
Now, they can't all do it.
No.
So you can't back all three of them and make money. But you can back two of them. Well, you can't actually. Only one of them is going to finish fourth.
Yeah.
Well, no, unless Villa bottle it, which is, who knows.
No, just enjoy it now, like Monday morning after. Because they're going to have a result where they're going to lose. They're going to lose a game. They might lose at home to Fulham or whatever. So, and then you have to reassess. Oh, geez, maybe it isn't right. So, you know, everyone's going to go result by result. But like for now, it's very, very good. Like, you know,
they were supremely good yesterday.
It was so enjoyable, the match. The way that they played. Didn't have an awful lot of the ball at times, but just the way that they attacked the second half. Because they're attacking... options kind of diminished a bit midway through the second half, but Arsenal aren't doing anything either, but it was still a good game, and that did remind you of the bygone successful era of like they're in. You always felt they were in the game. They're always in that game.
Yeah.
And I rarely felt like that in the previous regime.
I'm just going to very quickly do the headlines for you because they're not great. Mind the Gap is the headline on the Sun this morning.
Is that a London Underground thing?
Mind the Gap
is the title. Okay.
Very good.
But it's a London Underground.
Mind the Gap, London Underground, Arsenal are from London. They're top of the league. Mind the Gap. Down to 4 points. They want 7 points.
Mind the Gap.
Very good.
Mind the Gap. I think that's shite. Shaking the Mick. That's top of the morning to you.
Because Mick is spelt Arteta.
Yeah. Arteta says wobbling Gunners won't panic after Cunha's title twister.
Imagine he said they are going to panic.
Matt Stone's guns is the headline on the Star.
He's not a Matt.
No.
Matt Cunha.
I think my favourite one though is the eye.
Can you great picture.
Can you believe it?
That is a great picture.
Great picture.
Yeah. That's Maguire and Cunha coming up after their interview on the pitch afterwards.
Cunha Corker is the headline in the Mail. Arsenal lack mental strength. That's what the Telegraph are saying. No fanning around for the Telegraph. Arsenal lack mental strength.
Weak.
It's in quotes. And though,
mental strength is in quotes. Yeah, it is in quotes. Afterwards going, look at this team. Like, they've got everything that you need.
Yeah.
I didn't get the impression he particularly likes them.
Who?
Vieira. No. I did not. Like, it was kind of like he was doing the party line, and he's like, he obviously wants the Arsenal as an entity win, but I don't think he's having the team at all.
They make him sick.
It's just like
compared to his time when they were on men, you know.
United are in the green.
I enjoy Maguire and Cunha's post match.
Yeah,
because Maguire was like, "Well, you know what Cunha's like when he's not playing, but he came on. He's a bit of a character,
not really."
He was. He cursed into the camera too, and I apologise for that. I have to say, he's much more softly spoken than I imagined.
Cunha,
yeah, there's an effeminate edge to him. I didn't expect that. Gotta watch.
There's loads to talk about from it. Like, we could go to...
We could.
At the Harry Maguire redemption arc, you know.
But was it redemption? I suppose it's been a redemption arc for a while.
Yeah,
but
sorry,
that wasn't
not
game.
Just
but
this
that,
one.
I'm not surprised he got...
Is he out of contract at the end of the season, or does he automatically get a new one? Is there like a constant triggering?
I don't think he's out.
I think we would have heard about it. He still nearly went to West Ham.
He's close, though. It's not a million miles away, if not. But I don't know. I've not heard anything about it.
Signed a one-year contract with Man United. That was it. So,
yeah.
Now, again, they don't release the details of this the way they do in the States, so you're always speculating. But okay, come on.
So the green is the greens for Manchester United. We can just put Arsenal in red straight away. And just to follow up there, what you were saying about them, right? Arsenal. I had in my notes here during the game, right? It's funny enough, it was Saka's near post shot saved by Lemons, which led to the corner that Arsenal got the second goal from, right? And I said, Saka shoots, is that still all they have? I put that in my notes, right? Because Arsenal's last shot on target was the 18th minute. Their next one was the 71st minute.
Yeah.
And when it really comes down to it, right? And people out there are always wondering, why did I talk to Arsenal about it like this? The way I go about Arsenal, right? Is like, they're very good. But I always have a bit of doubt about Arsenal. And that was a symbol of it yesterday. When it really, really comes to it, like in a game yesterday, I'm not saying they go hiding, but the creativity goes out the window. And they still go to their boy in the right wing to be like, please bail us out here.
And he's I saw that in the second half. You would always go to your best player in moments.
He kind of is, but I don't quite fully get it either. You know what I mean? I'm 100% open to conversion on it, because I'm like, I'm not watching them 90 minutes week in, week out. But when I do watch him, I'm like, I don't quite see why he's talked about the same way as like a Salah or someone like that in that similar position. I'm like, he's not that. He's like, he's an amazingly talented player. But that same thing was like, well, he'll obviously start for England. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think his form is not as good as it was.
Yeah.
I do think he has been more efficient in terms of goal scoring previously. Like, he's...
Sky had a damning graphic put up about the lack of goals from their forwards. Like, it is unbelievable, right? So their top scorers this season in the league, Gyökeres and Trossard, have 5 each, and their second top scorer is own goals.
Look, well,
and your boy Eze,
you do create the own goals.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
you know.
So Saka has no goals in his
my
last
boy
13
Eze,
games.
Who he dropped for 5 games because he made a mistake against Villa. Yeah. You're like, come on.
Didn't do anything when he came on, though.
But I know.
That's what you bought him for. Like, you're talking about him as a talismanic kind of figure.
They should have.
You brought Cunha on. He changed the game.
They should have started him.
Instead of who, though?
Instead of Trossard. Trossard's grand.
Yeah, I don't.
Eze is potentially like an excellent player. Or pick him in the 10. Pick him in his best position. I think this all speaks to Arteta's conservatism. You know.
It does. Yeah, I think you're right. I did know too. Do you know in that first quarter of an hour when they were the better side and they had the ball a lot, there was twice, right? Odegaard got the ball on one occasion, Trossard the other, where they got the ball and they ran through the middle with it. Real lack of movement up front.
Yeah.
Lack of options. It happened twice. They had to turn around. And one time Trossard got a free for it and he lambasted his teammates, and quite rightly, because it was brilliant play. He intercepted the United counter-attack, ran with the ball, swiveled, got fouled by, I think it was Maynou, went around to his teammates, where are you? Very little movement, which then led me to Gabriel Jesus. And it was like, I don't think he's at the level of his teammates around him. I think he slows the ball down significantly. And the Arsenal fans applauded big time when Gyökeres came on.
They have been trying to replace Jesus essentially since they signed him.
I think they'll be replacing Gyökeres soon as well.
Havertz, I think it looks like the knee injury is more serious than they thought. So would you be surprised if they were to spend some money now and buy a striker in the next 2 days?
I would, definitely.
Would you?
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Who would you be getting?
Anybody. I would. A warm body up there.
I would be. Now, they've drawn. Spent too much. Is it 2 draws and a defeat now for Arsenal? They drew to Forest the last game, and then the previous one was Liverpool, wasn't it?
Sorry, hang on one second. You're telling me you don't think they have any striking options, and you're like, you'd be surprised.
They do have striking options, they're just not playing well.
But they're no good. You're saying you don't think Chase is good, you don't think Gyökeres is good.
What did we talk about? What did we talk about midweek last week after they beat Inter? Two goals from Gyökeres, two goals from Jesus, one goal from Gyökeres. They do have options. They just played terribly yesterday. And I just don't think Jesus is at that level.
At the level to what?
Around his Arsenal teammates, when you see them at their peak.
Yeah.
And tight, like, he's not your number nine title winning side, you know. Because for Man City, he wasn't either. He was a good part of their squad. He's a very good squad player. Very, very good. That's what Arsenal are. They're very good. One last note on Arsenal. Where are the fans?
Oof. Yeah.
What the hell, like? So early into stoppage time, you could see the seats. You could see the red and white mixture seats all off the AFTV, no doubt.
Mind the gap. They all had to go and get their trains home.
Mind the gap.
Right, so as well.
Mind the gap is a legitimate headline, right, for Arsenal to worry about. So a good weekend for Manchester City. They're not in the performance rankings, but Aston Villa are. Because yet another good display by Unai Emery's side. They go to St. James's Park. They win. Emi Buendia. Is he a cult hero? Buendia at Villa. Because he has those moments. On our chat from Friday.
Buendia's comeback from going out on loan and not getting any games when he was on loan is heroic. You'd want him. I think he might make the
trenches.
You would. I think he might make the Argentina squad. Anyway, if he continues this form, it's the pinpoint accuracy is outrageous. They were saying in commentary that himself and Morgan Rogers is crediting Buendia with the technique. And because it wasn't a thunder bastard, it was like I watched the replay many times, like the Zapruder film. I was like, how's he doing that? It's like, it's not, it. I would love to have seen one of those, how fast the ball went, because it didn't seem like it went particularly fast. Mm. It's like a floated pass right into the side netting. And I mean, obviously the keeper's full length dive makes it look very beautiful. But they were excellent. There was a brilliant chance for Newcastle after 40 seconds, which Emi Martinez saves with an outstretched leg, which if it had gone in, I think, you know, who knows what would have happened. But they grew in confidence in there. Got really lucky with the injuries that they faced a very depleted Newcastle side. That stat popped up. Zero games since Bruno Guimarães has signed for Newcastle in the last 4 years that he's missed. Newcastle have won. None from 11.
Wow, jeez.
Anytime he's out, they lose.
We're short on time here. So Villa third. 11 points at City, but City have far superior goal difference. But they're 4 points behind Arsenal. One question for you on Villa, who are green, by the way, at the green screen. Are they overperforming? Based on their squad?
I think there's definite weaknesses in the squad. Like, they've just signed Tammy Abraham, who is going to be a like-for-like with Ollie Watkins, maybe. Also missing lots of chances. But yeah, it's very exciting. They play great football. They actually are brilliant to watch.
They really are.
That midfield area, almost no matter who's playing at the moment, is brilliant to watch.
That's the answer to that question, actually.
From last week?
Villa are the team, I think, that I always turn on. It's like, this will be good.
Hmm. I'll tell you what wasn't good. Liverpool.
Josh.
3-2 defeat away to Bournemouth. This could be thrown into the red, I would say, unless you have any debates there. Amin Adli with the goal. Deep in stoppage time. Should Virgil van Dijk leave the football before the football leaves Virgil? Jeez, he was caught badly for that goal, wasn't he? The Evan Nielsen one. He's trying to shepherd it out. And he has that shepherded nature, but when it works, it's cool.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work, it's slack. And he is in the latter category at the moment. Now Liverpool fans have screamed down the blower there today, saying, like, Virgil van Dijk's most transformative figure that Liverpool have had in years and years. I get that. And he's still very important. But he had a bad game, and so did Liverpool. And now there are rumours circulating that Arne Slot is once again in trouble for his job. Now, Bournemouth are a very good side. You know? It's no shame necessarily to lose to Bournemouth. But I guess it's the theme of Liverpool season is just when you think they're going to get going. Like Arsenal during the week, very good in Europe. And flatter to deceive in the league here for Liverpool. But worrying. I've one note in this game too. Ryu Ngamo, who came on, he got clipped in the penalty box and stayed in his feet.
Who?
The young lad. And if you'd gone down, penalty. See, if you stay on your feet, you get no reward.
People hate diving, you know?
But more importantly, very worrying for Liverpool again. Their first shot and target was Salah's botched right footed volley, which led to the corner for Van Dijk's goal. And that was towards the end of the first half. So a bit insipid.
You're in butter. He's in butter.
You see the way getting rid of Amorim had this weird transformative impact. Other clubs must be looking at that. Liverpool must be looking at that going, I mean, what if we don't qualify? What if we don't? What
like,
happens there?
I suspect, like, if I don't.
Top five, what?
I don't know what their. Maybe I'm getting the timelines mixed up. So I'm not sure what their pro. Did they. Was Alonso wanted as far back as when Slot came in? Had he'd already won the league then, hadn't he? Because he'd won more season at Leverkusen.
He won the treble.
Yeah, so he was a viable option.
Sorry,
that's,
he didn't win the trip.
But he was going to win the league, wasn't he? He hadn't won the league yet.
He did think, well, I'll do Real Madrid first and then...
Yeah.
And he said
I think he had his grand plan. He was going to stay at Leverkusen for another year.
Yeah.
That was his thing. Because he was still new in management. They didn't, when they lost the Europa League final, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they were on course for the treble.
And that was Klopp's last year because Atlanta bet them. Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah.
So I think if he was always kind of high enough up on their list, it makes sense to strike now. I don't think it's going to...
You think
so? Yeah, like I suspect there'll be a levelling out even if you keep Slot. I'd still say they'll probably get top five, to be honest with you. They just kind of have too much talent, but like they're probably like... it probably could at the same time swing a little bit more the other way.
Tasty enough Premier League fixtures the next three. At home to Newcastle, at home to Man City, and then away to Sunderland.
Yeah, the
thing is,
start.
The thing about Liverpool is, like, at the moment, most opposition is dangerous to them. Most. Yeah. That's the thing, you know, there are not too many soft fixtures for Liverpool anymore. And that's the problem. And they currently lie in sixth, so they're outside the Champions League places by a point behind Chelsea, who went to Palace and won 3-1. Jesus, Palace,
I'm not talking about Lamar Senior anymore.
Four out of five?
It's like...
Four out of five?
Yeah.
When does David Brent become galvanising, you know? Yeah. This is Liam Rossini.
Villa's next fixtures, by the way, Brentford, Bournemouth, Brighton, Leeds, Wolves, by the end of February.
Okay, TBC. We'll discuss all that with Jonathan Wilson and more in a few minutes. Time now.
I'm giving up predicting how teams...
I know, the thing is, like...
It's so hard.
Everton beat them at Villa Park and the... You know, like, so it's good to get your...
I'm just enjoying it.
Well, you lose that... run. Anyway.
Okay. GEA. Let's start with the National Football League, shall we? So rather than picking specific games here, we're going to award an overall colour to the opening weekend of both the football and hurling leagues, starting with the football. It's probably the best way to do this. We have a few videos to play here. Mayo beating Galway yesterday was very impressive. Kerry, we touched on at the start of the show with their last minute winner against Roscommon. This is just yesterday's stuff. Armagh beating Monaghan handsomely enough. Shall we play the first video here to get us going? This is Pádraig Joyce of Galway speaking after his side's defeat to Mayo.
Is Paul going to be back soon, do you think? And also then John Maher, how long more is he going to be in?
Don't know. John is back to a little bit of training, another few weeks away, so yeah. Paul has to decide on yet.
I've been already been asked about Paul and John, but just a squad update around the likes of Killian McDade, even Peter Cook, is he on the horizon? Any other players returning?
Peter's not committing. Peter won't be committing to us. He's working in London, so he can't commit. Killian is back training a little bit. He shouldn't be too far away. He'll probably see action in the next couple of games. That's it then, really. Sure.
Damien Comer.
Damien is no. He won't be playing anytime soon. No.
It's a difficult challenge ahead now. The All Ireland, both last 2 years All Ireland champions on the road. But I suppose you touched on it. It is Division One is tight nail.
They're great games. I think they're brilliant games. So there's great support here today as well for both teams. Like, they're just they're great games to have, and we learn so much from the games. Like, the also, you learn about the individuals just playing, the character they show, and that kind of stuff. So it's all building towards the championship level here. Yeah.
And Kieran Mulhern, we saw flashes of his, you know, wizardry, almost that Matthew Thompson role out there at times today.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I thought he was really, really good. Young lad, the 20s, the last couple of years with Salvo and Jay there, but he's been really, really good. Really good lad. Great energy in the place, and yeah, he's a talented boy.
Yeah, let's hear from Andy Moran here. So his first game in charge of Mayo, beating Galway 3-18 to 2-18. Here he is chatting afterwards.
You played a lot with energy. Like, I don't think you're as dramatic. I remember your first day, it always strikes in my head down in the dome as Leitrim manager. You're hopping around the place. You've calmed things down on the sideline, but your side still play with your swagger, your energy.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. I think if I didn't calm it down, my wife would have killed me. But no, I like it, that's the key for experience. It's you go away, you kind of learned an awful lot from Gabriel up in Monaghan last year, and you know, that was the whole point of it. So listen, I'm glad you observed that. But it's listen, there's still a lot of shouting, and my kids still tell me I'm the loudest man in the pitch. So it's I think if a team needs to play with energy, it needs to play with a bit of passion in these new rules, and we're just trying to push that through.
The league, as we saw last year, is dramatic and good. Final ball changed league final to relegation, and so on and so forth. How do you look ahead to the league? Like, what's the target? What do you look forward to? Or, you know, what are your brief overviews?
It's a great question. I said before the game, in terms of the first two games, I think we'll have an awful lot to review after the first two games. I think going up last night, watching Meath and Derry, and then watching Dublin and Donegal, and then watching Kildare and Tyrone after it, I think once you get to the second game, you can have a good sense of where you're at. So did we set any targets up to that point? Up to that point, yes, but after that, no. We'll try to analyse this game, see how we get on against Dublin, and then we'll take stock then after that.
First league game in charge, of course, for Andy Martin. You were making the point over the weekend.
Just incredible. Like, obviously the leagues are streamed, and I get it, before you're like, oh, of course the games are going to be close. But like, there would traditionally have been blowouts. There was no blowouts at the weekend. Like, it's also massive scoring. One blowout, obviously Armagh, absolutely sensational. Mm-hmm. Hockey Monaghan, fair enough. But all the other games felt like they were right in it until the very end. Just one quick comment from you, Stephen Gavin. Galway missed about 8 players and missed about 6 great goal chances. Calm it, Mayo. Calm it. No, come on. Well, enjoy it, especially when you beat Galway in Galway.
It's just like, what do you want? Like, like
you want to feel alive.
Could I just bring it up to the point? Miss goal chances.
Oh yeah,
a lot of those goal chances were saved.
All right,
miss good goalkeeping. You
Mayo's returning hero, Rob Henley.
Yes, yeah.
Man of the match.
Wow,
sinking those 2-pointers.
Friend of the show, Rob Henley, came in here, did a bit of analysis.
That's it. Decided. No more. Like, I've more left in the tank.
A bit like
got his love back for it.
Keith Andrews, of course, came in here. Next thing, he's like best manager in the Premier League. Telling you, this is the path to greatness, folks.
Stuart Lancaster.
Oh, Stuart Lancaster comes to the show, gets the gig the next day.
We saw you there. That line, you were very good.
That's actually true, by the way.
Yeah, no, it is true.
Oh, we did get that feedback.
But sorry, he was great. Sorry, just think, he was fantastic. He made some great point blank saves. But the shooting from the twos is outrageous. Like, he always had a big boot, but like, you want to see somebody, there's great kind of fan footage of some of the things, like to get a proper feel from a low level of how far he was from some of them. It's stunning stuff. He will be a serious asset if he holds on to that position. Which I suspect he might, because he came back.
Yeah. I'm not coming back to travel all the way over for all those training sessions, Dublin to Mayo, to sit in the bench here. And
he was class. Delighted for him.
Why do you think the decision was made to return the buzzer to its original form?
Because nothing can be too good. You have to maintain problems. Keep issues.
What else would we talk about?
Keep everyone distracted.
It's jarring, isn't it?
Just explain for people, because like, I think most people, one of the outstanding memories of all of the festival of football that was 2025, the resurgence, the saving of the game of football, one of the greatest things that happened last year was the Clifford point at the end, the 2-pointer at the end of the first half of the All-Ireland football final. It's the biggest day. It's probably the peak viewership figure. Mm-hmm. It's around then anyway, when everybody's like, oh, I'm going to check out what's happening. Will I stay tuned for this? The clock is essentially in the red. The hooter is gone. The game is still on. And the Clifford's concoct one of the all-time great scores.
Iconic.
And somebody saw that and went, I don't want to, what's this? This is ridiculous. The game's over. They should be in the change rooms at half-time having tea.
But was the actual reason that when they took the emotion out of that iconic moment that they said, well, Paddy was dawdling on the ball for a minute and a half and everybody was getting a bit bored because it reminded us of the old football?
And why didn't push out?
I think it's one of those few things where there's no legitimate argument. And I'm sure they have made an argument, but I can't see any argument for what the change they've made. It happened at the end of that game, the Galway Mayo game. There was 3 points in it, and it's like if you kept going, it would have, Galway would have had to try and manufacture something. Whereas then it was just kind of panicky well, we got to get this forward now. There's like 30 seconds here.
If we're through on goal, what's happening? Buzzer.
I don't know, because I there was obviously controversy at the end of the Kerry game, because I think it was kind of widely accepted the Hooter had gone before Tomás Kennedy got the fist away or whatever for the winning score. So, but then I saw Eamon Fitzmaurice last night. I haven't fully dug into it, but he said it was fine.
At the at this time of the year last year, the Hooter rule was the same. No, hang on, because
then
there was a controversy, and then they changed it to be the good Hooter rule.
Yeah,
and then they changed it back. They're like, no, too much of a good thing, lads.
But there was no Hooter at all. I was obviously listening in with Westmead Sligo. I don't think it's in Division 3-4, is it? Because it was 3 minutes of added time there. It's like, it's very weird to be listening to two games in the same competition.
Yeah.
But it's bollocks. It's just such a bad call.
It's bollocks.
It's such a bad call. And I maybe they have a justified reason for it, the applicability of it across the board or whatever. But like, it is... it's just for the drama part of it. Like, it's just like even the last few minutes of that Donegal Dublin game on Saturday evening, and when Donegal were always kind of had them at just kind of an arm's length away, you were like, you knew it wasn't going to come back anyway. And maybe that happens regardless, but it just, it's a shame. It's a shame.
Matthew putting in here, the Hooter time on TV and time in stadium didn't match in the Kerry game.
Yeah.
Well, another shout here from a colleague of ours, Adrian Barry, the name. Kieran Donaghy, another one who went on to greatness after off the ball work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true enough.
You know,
true enough.
The shot clock, wasn't it?
Colin Boyle, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he won four All-Stars beforehand, but I mean, it was the grease that slipped him in.
You'll be the Late Late Show producer in no time now.
Jesus Christ.
So Dublin under Ger Brennan, right? Now, I thought he'd bring the two pointers with him. From Louth, you know, bit of Sam Murray goodness, but they still seem to be a bit allergic. Now, he lamented their first half display on
Can't
Saturday
kick a couple
evening.
In the first half just for,
he did kick a couple, but it still felt like they were reluctant to shoot. Conan from the start of this time of year is interesting to see too. So Brennan lamented Dublin's lethargy in the first half, an improved margin in the second half. But there was a point where they were 8 points behind with 15 minutes to go. It finished with 3 points separating the sides, so they can feel good about the end of it. But there was a moment around the 15-minute mark when Darrell Beale ran the show for about 2 minutes on his own. Beautiful little sample of Donegal's, not quite dominance, but superiority in the game. Let's hear from their boss, Jim McGuinness, speaking after this win in Croke Park.
That game's long gone. That game's long gone. We're heading for 2026 now, and focusing on that, you know. So now there's no issues there. There's no residue there. We're back on the horse, as they say, and we've won our first game, and we'll see what happens next weekend.
The All Ireland final last year. There's so much talk about the zonal defence and the way they just played that day. And do you look back on that now and think that you could still win an All Ireland playing with that set of that style of defence, or do you think that you will have to change?
Well, we just played the last 25 minutes zonally.
Yeah, I'm asking. I'm not saying you can't, but you can. I'm just asking you.
I don't have an opinion. You guys are the ones that have the opinions. You have the opinions. We just do our work. That's the bottom line. Like, I don't listen to anybody. I just coach the team. So there's loads of opinions out there, and there's loads of people saying loads of things, you know. But at the end of the day, that doesn't have any impact in my thinking whatsoever. I don't listen to those people. Most of them have never coached at inter-county level. Most of them have never stood on the sideline. Most of them never won anything as a coach. So I don't take counsel from people. I only take counsel from people that have been there and done that. If it's an All-Ireland winning manager or a top coach, I'll listen to them and I'll listen to what they have to say. But I don't listen to anybody outside of that, because it doesn't make sense.
What if he likes the person and they're very flattering towards him? Does he not listen to that?
You can't do that. That's who was talking about that? Trying to keep the... Oh, Blind Boy was talking about the drug of... positive people giving you. It's like you gotta keep that at bay, because you become addicted to it. It's just really interesting that he didn't answer the question at all there, and he talked about something else that was clearly pissing him off.
Do you feel he was talking to you there?
No. The question he was asked was, do you think you can win the All-Irelands only? And then he was like, well, loads of people have opinions. I don't listen to anybody's opinions. It was like, what's that got to do with whether or not you can win the All-Irelands only? Do you think you can do it? I don't have an opinion. He must have an opinion on whether or not he... You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a kind of, I suppose it's the question itself, I suppose, do you think... Obviously he thinks they can win it. So there's a degree, I suppose, that he's probably, you know, coming back to the fact of, what do you want me to say here? You want me to, you're wanting me to commit to saying, yeah, I think we'll win the All-Ireland. or can.
But, yeah, can.
Of course he thinks they can. They got to the final last year.
But specifically playing a defensive style that Carr, obviously it was Carr O'Kane and Tommy's first question.
Yeah.
That the lads obviously Tommy, feel like there's something remiss with that.
For sure.
When you're coming up against,
I think they've Kerry next, don't Clifford. They? So that's kind of, there's context for it. But I'm not surprised. Like, I believe he's just, he's acting the bollocks. Like, it's just that kind of, it's just that type of thing. It's just like, I'm way smarter than all of ye, and ye can't possibly understand what I'll do. And I'll only listen to people on my level. It's like, what does that mean? Like that's grand. Okay, so what are you saying? Everyone here's a gobshite. No one, we shouldn't listen. Don't, I'm not going to listen to any of you. You can say what you want. But like at the same time, as you're saying, as a load of people have said from the get-go, geez, that was a weird tactic you chose against Kerry and it seemed to really backfire. Any chance you want to explain any of that? Mm. No, you're all gobshites. What would you know? It's like, that wasn't what happened. It's like, well, we saw the game. It's like, you know, you don't have to be an expert. Like there's a humility to it as well. He's obviously supremely talented, supremely successful career, yeah. Amazing coach. I think sometimes you just be better served like, show that. Tell people how you did. No one's going to judge him. No one's coming out of that game going, Jim McGinnis is a fraud. It's like nobody does that. I'm genuinely more interested. Why did you think that would work? Explain it. Like I'm not, you know, and whatever. Within the realms of reality, you still want to play them again this year. You don't want to tweak it. But tell us. Yeah. Tell us what it is. Break it down. Stop. Don't close off barriers. And that's just what it gets me. Because now it's like, right, okay, so Donegal, right, 2026, siege mentality. That's new. Fair play. We'll go again. It's like, I'd love more insight. I'd love to be let in a bit and just kind of go, look, this was the broad idea, what we did this for.
I guess, brilliant. I guess that would take him out of his comfort zone. He doesn't need that. He's already uncomfortable.
Just
already
uncomfortable. Should be embraced, like,
can I say it's probably our job to do that and to find people who can do that? Because you know, in a way, like that's, and that's a challenge to us too, is to find people who can explain. You know, if you're a coach going up against Kerry in a big game, why make the case for me why you can go zonally and win the game? We'll do that.
Okay, we got to go here. What colour are we giving the National Football League for the first week?
Like, green.
Total green.
40 shades of green.
Okay, let's go to the Hurling League. We're going to start here by hearing from Ben O'Connor, the Cork boss. They annihilated Waterford yesterday, I think it's fair to say. Parky Queeve, have a listen.
Yeah, just happy to have it out the way, if I'm being honest. A lot of talk about it during the week, and just because it was our first day out, like, so just delighted that we got a performance out of the boys. Condition of the field made a difference, and fine day was nice to see, like, so it just made it a bit easier. I suppose, look, Waterford were under strength, shorter belly gunner lads. But look, we can only beat what's in front of us, and delighted for some of the lads there now.
The fast start would really have set the nerves if there were any, I suppose.
Yeah, there was no nerves either. No nerves. And I suppose we got 8 or 9 fast points. I suppose it set the tone for the rest of the, in that period. I don't think we'd any wide either, so shooting was good. Boys ran into position to play the ball around well, so a good start for first hours.
Some excellent performances all around the field. William Buckley in particular, a fantastic game.
Yeah, very good performances. I suppose we were lucky enough that we had 9 or 10 of the more experienced fellas, and we were firing a few younger fellas with them as well to help them out, and not that they needed any helping out there today, but it's nice to do that, and nice to be able to put on 5 subs in the second half, so and give them all a bit of game time.
Very good. 325-117. Decky Dalton wearing Patrick Horgan's 14. Beautiful penalty. My God. Set up Alan Connolly for a nice goal too.
Bit of a paddling.
10-1 it was after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they were 14 points up after 20 minutes and they won by 14 points. So yeah. The final 50 minutes of the game, not huge in terms of lessons.
Just declared. Like.
We're running out of time here, so we got to give this a cutter. Elsewhere, Kilkenny beat Offaly by 4 points. That's Division 1A. Division 1B then Clare beat Dublin 3-18. 122.
Football is going to swamp hurling.
Yeah.
Until the Munster Championship.
Yep.
Now, Tip and Galway on Saturday evening was, I thought, was relatively entertaining. Galway had 9 points and 9 wides by half time, 14 wides in total.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It was the rain. No, there was an awful lot of throwing.
Yeah. A throwing that can never be proved.
Never. And it's always the frustration when it was Sean Stack was the referee when some of them are called. But like, I'm almost certain for the Tip goal. Well, it was popped off. It was clearly kind of just thrown up. Like, no, what are you going to do?
I couldn't tell.
There's nothing you can do, but like, it's just kind of like,
the arc of the ball was really weird. It was like a few frames were missing on the video.
Is this our first amber of the day? Or do you want to give a green back?
No, amber. It's not like, even like the big kind of thing, like, it's not Cork's fault that Waterford were kind of a shadow of a team there, but
this the hurling league matters less. Than
it's
that.
Just okay. kind of, yeah, it's right. unfortunate.
Very finally, what colour do you want to give Connacht? So 23-34 they went down against Leinster, but this was actually a hell of a game. Leinster turned around with back-to-back tries from Margie Snyman and Charlie Techter in the second half. I thought Connacht were going to do this after about an hour.
Snyman pretty good with the hands, isn't he?
Yeah, huge. Huge hands and very agile. Connacht are 16th in URC. So on paper, it's not going well, but there's still a vibe that it's actually it's a good start under Stuart Lancaster.
Well, I think it was historically that is going to stand Connacht in good stead. The fact that the new stand was open, there was a big buzz about them. The quality,
fireworks beforehand.
They're playing well.
Yeah. So do you want to give them amber? Or do you want to give them red?
I think for Connacht Rugby, the whole thing and the unveiling of that is like, it is actually green. It's like it's a historic moment. The game itself is largely irrelevant.
Okay,
the game itself
on.
Is going to be a footnote
come
in history.
On. If they had won the game, it would have been massive, so it's total relevance.
No, but it's a footnote in history.
Trouble
it's
happened
a URC
there.
Game.
Well done. Fair play. Patrick Vieira played for Arsenal. Which other English club did he play for? Answer on WhatsApp exclusively 0879 180 180. We'll pick one winner by the end of the show to win €100 for Braeburn. But for now, that's your performance rankings.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Off the Ball Daily.